You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. A lot to recap. Come on in. Stay a while. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Coming up, we'll talk to Chris Sims on loan from Football Night in America. We'll recap what we saw yesterday, last night, even on Saturday. We'll dive into the college football situation as well. Phone calls always welcome. Marvin standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, Chat Row, and our great radio affiliates around the country. In case you missed it last night, you didn't miss anything. It was the Cleveland Browns over the New York Giants. We'll recap that, what it means coming up. Drew Brees came back, didn't play well. The Patriots are out of the playoffs. Steelers-Bengals tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. You have Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Florida, Cincinnati on the outside looking in. We'll dive into that topic as well. Someday when Jets fans are watching Trevor Lawrence throw touchdown passes for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're going to look back to December 20th of 2020 and wonder what could have been. Jeez. Yep, I'm starting that way.
God.
I know. I tried to ease into it. I couldn't. December 20th, 2020. Well, with the winless season and the number one pick on the line, the Jets did the Jetsian thing, the unthinkable. They won. And they beat the Rams in Los Angeles. And now it looks like they have the number two pick. Now, we're making assumptions here. The Jags could presumably win one of their last two games. They host the Bears, then they visit Indy. And we don't know for sure that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a 10-time All-Pro. Clemson quarterback looks like he'd be maybe a 9-time All-Pro. Not a 10-time, but at least a 9-time All-Pro. But there's things that could happen. Who would have thought the Jets could beat the Rams in Los Angeles? It's a sad day in New York. Jets fans had their hearts set on being number one at being the worst in the NFL. Once again, the team let them down. They weren't quite as bad as we thought, or something like that. Either way, it's tough to be a Jets fan today, but maybe they'll turn it around one of these days. Maybe, maybe. But watching yesterday, I kept thinking, Sam Darnold is playing for his job. Sam Darnold, if he wins, and they might win another game, Sam Darnold might still be the quarterback of the Jets. Adam Gase is not going to keep his job. Can't imagine that happening. But Sam Darnold is probably thinking, hey, I don't care if they get Trevor Lawrence or not. I don't want them to get Trevor Lawrence. And by the way, Justin Fields, you know, we keep talking about Ohio State with the eye test. My glasses aren't very strong because he hasn't looked very good. Like the eye test, Justin Fields does not look good. So if you're saying, hey, you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, but you're going to get Justin Fields, I'd slow my roll on that right now. But certainly interesting football over the weekend. It wasn't as good a weekend as I thought it was going to be. Because I thought, okay, you got college, all these games, big games, important games. Had USC, Oregon on Friday night. And then you had NFL, a couple NFL games. And then Sunday, and then I went, this wasn't a great weekend. I thought the Cardinals and the Eagles was maybe the best weekend game that I saw. Back and forth, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, that was a whole lot of fun. That was really, really entertaining. College football-wise, all of a sudden, you know, I think, well, Northwestern doesn't have enough offense to stay with Ohio State. They have enough defense, not enough offense. And then all of a sudden, it's 24-3, Clemson-Notre Dame, and I went, okay, that's not any good. And then Florida against Alabama. I was wondering about this when the rankings came out. And I know I'm all over the place, but this is the way I was this weekend. If Florida didn't lose to LSU, and they went toe-to-toe with Alabama, would there have been any sympathy, any momentum for Florida to make it into the Final Four? Because they played really well. I mean, they took Alabama as deep as you can take Alabama. And I wonder about that. That LSU loss coming back to haunt them. But I think we got the final four we thought we were going to get, whether you like it or not. We were going to get this. I don't think they wanted A&M. I thought I liken A&M to somebody leaves kittens on the doorstep. You always bring the kittens in. They weren't letting A&M or Cincinnati or anybody else on the doorstep to get in. I mean, I think they did a drive-by with A&M and go, yeah, okay, nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, SEC football. 8 wins. Yeah. They already had their talking points ready, too. This is why Notre Dame gets in. And like, we were looking at who had a better loss, Notre Dame or A&M. Like, that's the logic we had. And I know I don't like the way the setup is. I think the system is rigged. I think it's top-heavy. I think we get the same teams in year after year after year. And, yes, you can make the argument they are the best teams, but the system is rigged. At least let the other schools know it's rigged. You're never getting in. Don't get your hopes up. Hopefully you get to play it in a nice bowl game. But Clemson looked wonderful. Now, that defense looked great. Trevor Lawrence looked great. And, you know, Notre Dame, like, hey, you made it into the Final Four, and your reward, you get Alabama. Good luck with that. But Ohio State has not played well. They played well enough, but they haven't played well. I know they got a lot of players that were out with COVID. Hopefully they get a healthier roster when they play Clemson, because that could be a fun game. But it feels like there are two great teams in college football, and that is Clemson and Alabama. I don't think Notre Dame's great. I don't think Ohio State's great. Doesn't mean they can't win these games. I don't think they're great. I don't think A&M is great. Florida's great. Cincinnati. I don't think any of those teams are great. Well, there are two great teams. And then there are a couple of very good, and then there's some good teams in college football this year. But we'll dive into the topic coming up a little bit. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin has the honors of a poll question.
Okay, do you want to crowdsource your Heisman vote at all, or do you not want to be influenced by the Dan Patrick Show crowd on who they think the Heisman winner should be?
I am voting today. I have not voted yet. I have to have my ballot in by 5 o'clock today. I'm not allowed to tell you who I'm voting for. This changed, I think, the last 2 years where the Heisman Trust said, don't, you know, try to I guess lead people on or give somebody an indication of who you're voting for, or people who haven't voted and they may change their vote. I was told that, do not say anything. I've struggled with it, but I struggle with it every year because I've looked at Devontae Smith and I think he's the difference with Alabama. I think he's the one guy in college football that there's no other player like him in college football. And he's playing for the number one team in the country. Trevor Lawrence, 3 years, no Heisman. But I do think he's the best quarterback in football. Mac Jones has done everything you could ask for. And then some, coming in, replacing Tua. There's other good stories around college football. But those are, that's sort of where I am with how am I putting these players in there. Kyle Trask has played well. But if they had pulled off the win against Alabama, he probably wins the Heisman. But I'm trying to sort this out, with those three players right now. Yeah, Paulie.
Would you have a problem with, I know it's a one-year award, but someone voting for Trevor Lawrence as a career achievement award, especially with what you look at how their team looked against Notre Dame earlier this season compared to now?
No.
You didn't?
No, I wouldn't have a problem. I mean, I get it. I mean, we look, sometimes we vote the Academy Award where you go, it wasn't a great movie, but, hey, you haven't won before, so we're going to give it to you. They've done that before. But, if you want to give it to Trevor Lawrence, that's fine. Mac Jones, that's fine. Devontae Smith, sure. But I do think if you understand, and he might not even be the best receiver on his own team. I mean, that's what's amazing about Alabama with what they've had in the last couple of years. Yeah, McLovin.
Side topic, I'm curious how the NFL views Mac Jones. I feel like I was watching a guy in that game. I don't understand, like, if he can throw for all those yards and touchdowns in college, why can't he do it in the pros? Because you never see him in the mock drafts.
Well, I did ask a source, and I said, what is the profile on Mac Jones? And he's a scout, and he said, well, you know, until we get him in front of us, we get to talk to him. We want to know how smart you are in front of the whiteboard, the intangibles. He goes, initial reaction is he can't make plays. Like, he makes the play, he can't, if the play breaks down, he can't make a play. He doesn't extend a play. And said, you know, that's what we're looking for. Play breaks down, can you make a play? Can you extend a play? And, you know, my source said no. They don't see that with Mac Jones. Doesn't mean he can't play, but they said there's a big difference if you said Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, the ability to make a play when a play breaks down. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, Justin Fields as well. Yeah, Pauline.
I wonder if Mac Jones is going to get the treatment that A.J. McCarron got at Alabama 6-7 years ago. A.J. McCarron's last 2 years at Alabama, he had 30 touchdowns, 3 picks, 28 touchdowns, 7 picks. His numbers were fantastic, but it didn't translate to the draft.
Yeah, I just think that he's the quarterback at Alabama, and you tend to go, oh, yeah, he's the quarterback at Alabama. I mean, you know, Tua opened our eyes of the possibility of opening up the offense there, putting up good numbers, being an athlete back there. I thought McCarron was underrated. I really did. I thought that he was a tough kid and made some big plays, wasn't afraid of the big moment. But, you know, Mac Jones may be viewed the same way. But I don't think he's a first-round pick, but that's only based off what the conversation I had on Sunday afternoon with a source. Yeah, McLovin.
And how about that kid Najee Harris on Saturday, too, the running back? We forgot about him in the Heisman race, too.
Yeah, I think we look at him and we go, you know, yeah, he's good. And then you realize, you know, he counted for, what, 5 touchdowns there. But I don't know if there's anything – I don't know what's special about him. You know, because we've seen Alabama running backs. Josh Jacobs was great. Trent Richardson was great at Alabama. You know, then you have Derrick Henry, who is, you know, a beast. You know, he's a topic unto himself there. But, you know, he ran – he was probably the biggest difference in that game against Florida. The way he played, catching passes and also running as well. All right, we'll come up with a poll question here, and your phone calls are welcome. Here is Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback, after yesterday's win.
I mean, it's the greatest feeling in sports, you know, to be able to ice the game out and know we had it. I mean, it's the best, you know, for, you know, just that drive alone. You know, we knew we couldn't give it back to him. And for us to be able to execute when we really needed to. I mean, that was obviously something we haven't done all year.
And you could see them getting confidence. It almost felt like it was one of those body swap movies where the Jets and the Rams swapped uniforms, because you're thinking, oh, they're putting pressure on the quarterback and making big plays, third down, converting. And then you realize that the Rams are not who we thought they are or were, certainly in that game. And Frank Gore, I think, had 23 carries. I don't even know if he had 60 yards. But what happens is you run the ball 23 times. It's you're controlling the clock. You're putting pressure on the defense. You're keeping the defense out there. And Frank was able to do that. And, you know, you saw who they went to in the last couple of plays. I think the last 4 or 5 plays, it was all Frank Gore. And truly an amazing story that he's doing what he's doing at that age and doesn't shy away from the moment. Sam Darnold played well, and the defense put a lot of pressure on Jared Goff. And just if you're a Rams fan, you're going,
ugh.
Wait, I thought we had moved past games like this, because Jared Goff did not look well, not in that fourth quarter. And I know it was close, and they could have won that game. The fact that we're saying, boy, it was close, and they could have won that game, it shouldn't have been close, but it was. And, you know, there are moments there every season where you go, how did that happen? Where somebody loses or somebody wins. That was maybe the Rams' moment, but, you know, Seattle won, Arizona won. The Rams have to continue to win here. Yeah, Paulie.
And the Jets didn't have defensive coordinator Greg Williams to help him out last second. They didn't have any move. They didn't have any guy who would be masochistic about it.
Yeah, if, you know, Goff had a, like, you know, fourth down in 22, and then they would have sent the house there, then maybe the Rams could have won that game. Yes, Todd?
And the score was very misleading because in the middle of the third quarter, it was 20-3 Jets.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
This program brought to you by MasterClass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field this holiday. When you buy an annual membership, you get that extra annual membership for free. Go to MasterClass.com/Patrick, MasterClass.com/Patrick. All right, so we settle on a poll question, McLovin. We got Chris Sims joining us on
loan. I have a mean Jets question. Which was a worse day for the Jets, butt fumble day or yesterday?
Oh, yesterday.
Butt fumble lasted a decade.
No, it only lasted for Mark Sanchez.
I feel like that's the face of the Jets franchise. Face, the opposite of the Jets franchise.
Yeah, it's the other end. Yeah. That lasted. I mean, it's an embarrassment, but this is something that could last a decade. Like, this victory could last a decade with Trevor Lawrence. If you don't get him, I wonder. Like when he joined us last week, he said he doesn't watch, and you know, whoever takes me, and you know, I'll make the best of the situation. I have to believe his phone is blowing up yesterday, where he's looking at the Jets and they're beating the Rams, and then nervously pacing back and forth and back and forth, and then says, "I got to go outside. I got to go do something," and then comes back in. What score? What score? I'm going to go back outside. And then texting his fiance, what score? What score? The Rams, they just took the holding penalty. Jacksonville getting blown out? Yes, yes. Okay, all right. Well, there's still a chance I could go to Jacksonville here. And then the Jets win. Like, I would. Do you guys believe that Trevor Lawrence had no idea what was going on with the Jets yesterday? Any of you think that Trevor Lawrence is going, nah, I didn't watch. You know, I'm preparing for that next game against Ohio State. You know, I look at some game film there. I don't believe that for a second. Yes, Pauline?
I'm really curious what he wants, though, because he hasn't tipped his hand at all on that. And they usually don't. And once he gets drafted, you'll never know what he really wanted. Did he want to go to Jacksonville or did he want to go to the Jets? The other thing that's fascinating about him is usually guys who stay around 3 years, there's always a dip. There's always a criticism or a time where they cool off a little bit. He hasn't at all cooled off. There hasn't been, you know, Peyton Manning had way more criticism coming out of college than this kid. Andrew Luck had more criticism, yeah. You know, while Luck making tackles and running. I haven't heard any criticism of his game or on or off the field.
No, he survived. And that's pretty amazing given the hype, you know, from his freshman year on. And you're right, you know, Peyton couldn't beat Florida. Oh, he can't win the big game. Oh, Peyton's got happy feet in the pocket. Like, there were things that I remember about him. And most of these quarterbacks have something that's there if they stay that extra year. Peyton stayed 4 years. And Peyton didn't want to come out and play. Who was going to take him? The Jets? So Peyton wanted to make sure that he didn't get drafted by the Jets. And here's Trevor Lawrence, who has... He's done everything that you want your quarterback to do, and he's lived up to the hype. But I have to believe he's got to be going, just give me an update on the Jets. Maybe he doesn't watch, but, man, I would be. If I knew that and I don't know if he wants to go to Jacksonville because he stays in the South. You know, he talked about playing in cold weather and not big on playing in cold weather and – you know, maybe Jacksonville would be because it's a smaller, you know, fan base franchise. Expectation level might be a little bit more subtle. I mean, the Jets come in and it's, hey, we're going to the playoffs, right? There'll be some high expectations. You already see what Miami's doing. They're going to the playoffs. Buffalo is obviously going to the playoffs. The Patriots bow out and the Jets feel like this is our opportunity. Hey, the window's open with the Patriots. We can move past them. Yeah, McLovin.
See, I think Jacksonville now looks pretty fraught, too, because they're so non-competitive. They feel dysfunctional.
It almost feels like they're trying to be dysfunctional. It almost feels like that. That, hey, we don't know who we're starting at quarterback here. And you're going, okay. Well, Hopefully you figure it out by game time. Yes, Tom.
But isn't this what you want if you're Trevor Lawrence, the grand stage, to prove yourself? I know, you know, you can be such a hero if you turn the Jets around. Why go to Clemson or a big school, you know, if you don't want to have all the attention and have all the pressure and expectations on you? He could have gone to a smaller school for college.
Well, why didn't he go to Vanderbilt if he really wanted to go to a bad team and lift up their spirits? I mean, he went to Clemson,
where you're expected to play for and probably win a national title.
Yeah, but, you know, if you wanted to get ready for the NFL and the Jets, you could have gone to Vandy. All right, we'll take a break here. 21 after the hour, and we'll talk to Chris Sims on loan from Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America right after this. Paulie, turn off your mic, please. Sleep number setting, quality sleep, more important than ever as we head into the holiday season. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. How do you thrive during the holiday season? Somebody else has their mic open. Can you guys turn off your microphones? Quality sleep, essential for optimum health, performance, and sanity. Give comfort and joy for game-changing sleep. Right now, save up to $700 on the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. And understand this, they have everything you need to get a great night's sleep, and it's so important with you know, natural immunity booster, the energy, the recovery that you have, and you need that during the holiday season. It's the best bed you'll ever buy, the only bed you'll ever need. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed, save up to $700. Sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Love to hear from you today. Well, any day. Best and worst of the weekend. Except Saturday and Sunday. I don't want to hear from you. But Monday through Friday, I certainly want to hear from you. Sunday night, NFL rushing leader Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans battle MVP candidate Aaron Rodgers. Packers, Titans, Sunday night at 7 Eastern only on NBC. Just got my reminder from the Heisman Voting Committee. The Memorial Trophy closes today at 5 Eastern. And they remind me, as of approximately 9 a.m. today, you have yet to cast your vote. I will. I'll get around to it. Stop pressuring me. I got to talk about the Jets beating the Rams here before we get to Chris Sims. Here's Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, after yesterday's loss.
This loss will demoralize us only as much as we allow it to. It's going to be embarrassing, sick to your stomach about it, but we do have two games left, and we've got to find a way to respond and rebound on a short week.
Let's bring in Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, of course, the former NFL quarterback. How do you explain that, Chris?
Well, wait, first off, I mean, you left me some good candy there, all right? I mean, who are you going to vote for in the Heisman?
I'm not allowed to say it. They don't want us to say it publicly, or I would tell you privately, but I'm not allowed to say it publicly.
All right, cool. I understand that. You can text me later.
Who would you vote for?
I would vote for Trevor Lawrence. I would. He's the best player in college football for my money. It's unforeseen circumstances, COVID-19, all of that. That shouldn't hinder him as far as, you know, what the vote or what the award really stands for. So I would go with Trevor.
If you were Trevor, would you rather go to the Jets or the Jags?
Oh, the Jaguars probably have a little bit more in place as far as talent on the offensive side of the ball and even some young talent on the defensive side of the ball. You know, that to me is going to be more of the decision of, do you want to live in the big lights of New York or do you want to be kind of under the radar in Jacksonville? What suits like the style of life you want to live too? So, ultimately, I think probably at this point right now, the Jags are set up a little bit better team wise than the Jets, who have a lot of holes to fill.
But you also look at Eli Manning, doesn't seem like the New York kind of guy. Your father, who played for the Giants, is not a New York kind of guy. Right. Joe Namath, those days are long gone. Namath loved, you know, the bright lights and Broadway Joe, but you don't. Sam Darnold is not a bright lights New York City kind of guy either. I know the pressure, the expectation level would be so high if Trevor Lawrence goes to the Jets. It feels like he would get a little bit more of a easing in period in Jacksonville.
I would agree. I mean, you come up, you know, like you're talking about, you come up to New York, the spotlight's on you immediately. And then, of course, it's going to be added on to that is the fact that, whoa, they got rid of a top three quarterback pick to take on Trevor Lawrence. So how does that guy do on his new team? And that's going to add to the spotlight and just the overall, you know, attention around the whole scenario. But to your point with like my dad, Eli Manning, Sam Darnold, even, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence has that too, where, yeah, they're not like, it's even keel. It's throw a touchdown, throw an interception. You're not really sure which one they did. It's the same look on their face either way. And I think there is something to that in the New York City area as far as balancing your life and all the, you know, the fans and all the attention around you at all times.
Yeah, it feels like it's the expectation level is going to be so high because the Jets are so thirsty. The Jags almost went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. The Jets, you know, they get to watch the Super Bowl. But I also wondered about this yesterday. We got over the shock of the Jets beating the Rams. If I'm the Rams, what did I expose yesterday that's going to come back and haunt me? Or is this just a one-off that the Jets caught him at the right time? But are there bigger issues with the Rams as we look past this Jets upset?
I think I said this to you 2 weeks ago when I was on a Monday, where to me there's one big issue with the Rams football team, and it's really about the only issue because they're really well-rounded in just about every area. But there it was again, Dan. Just go back and look at the Rams' schedule. Any game their offense struggles, it's lack of run game, and then the bootleg passes aren't there. And just quite honestly, you know, the drop-back pass game as far as scheme – and then Jared Goff in the drop back pass game and his ability to do things that way, pocket passer, being a, you know, surgical that way and making plays off schedule. This is not the strengths of the Rams. So they got themselves in a hole and then they couldn't run the ball and the bootlegs were gone. And it just all kind of funneled out of control from there.
Is there a Super Bowl contender in the NFC West?
Yes, I do believe that the Seahawks to me are a Super Bowl contender. There's no doubt. The Seahawks have played better defense the last 5 or 6 weeks. Really, ever since they left Josh Allen and that loss up in Buffalo, they've been better. You know, I think you see their run game has shown inklings of popping up here. And in a year with no great defenses in football, you know, this is why I took Seattle versus Kansas City in the Super Bowl anyways, because of the no offseason. I thought the defenses would be handicapped. I just think playoff football is going to lend itself to the great quarterbacks kind of taking over in the big moments with no crowd noise and all of that, with no great defenses, and it's just going to favor those kind of guys. So, yes, Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, are contender.
Were you a Josh Allen guy prior to the draft? I didn't think you were.
I was. He was my number one quarterback that year. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I'm a big Josh Allen. I kind of stood Lamar as number one, and Josh Allen is two in my first rankings. And honestly, Dan, I made a deal with myself. I backed off of Lamar number one because I got so much crap from my NFL friends. Man, Lamar number one, are you crazy? I thought there was maybe something I didn't know, that maybe, you know, there was some character issues or something. But that I got so trashed, I honestly backed off Lamar a little bit and ultimately made Josh Allen my number one guy. But yes, I was a huge Josh Allen fan.
If I said I got to take out Mahomes from the equation, quarterbacks under the age of 27, that you would take over Josh Allen?
To me, and I'm just, you know, off the top of my head, I'm just going, only guy I'm thinking about really is him and Deshaun Watson. Those are those guys I think that are young, right? That fit that mold, what you're talking about. It's one of those two. Right now, Rodgers, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, I know in totality of their careers, they're better than Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson. But man, for 2020 football right now, week 15, I don't think you could say anybody's played better than Josh Allen this year except for Rodgers and Mahomes. And you see, like you saw Saturday night, he can carry the team at certain moments. Doesn't matter what has to be done. And I remind people, you know, that was the same Denver defense that wouldn't let the Chiefs in the end zone five different times, and Josh Allen got in the end zone. So he at least deserves to be in that conversation. I'm not saying he's there yet, but he's in that combo.
We're talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host with Mike Florio and, of course, the former NFL quarterback. Let's look at the Saints quarterbacking situation short-term, long-term here. What do you think?
Well, they got to go with Drew Brees now. I mean, he obviously was not at 100% yesterday. He didn't look comfortable. I mean, you watched it. You know, did he look comfortable at any point during that game? Looked jumpy in the pocket, right? Didn't look like real decisive with decisions. There was a lot of like, oh, should I throw it there? Oh, should I throw it? And he didn't know what to do with it. So they caught him on a rusty day. You know, of course, not hitting on all cylinders, but he's still the guy going forward, no doubt. I just hope they find the right balance of still letting Taysom Hill be a factor there. Because without Drew Brees' ability to really throw the ball down the field, I think they need that Taysom Hill run game package to just give them one other element to make defenses defend the whole field when you play the Saints. I think they just can't lose sight of that.
You look at Kansas City. They do keep teams in games, whether it's somebody really good like the Saints or, you know, can be some of these other teams here. But they seem to have an answer for everything. That's just it. It's the person who makes straight A's, but you go, how do they make straight A's? Because you're watching their study habits and you go, I don't know. Now, they do it differently here.
You're right.
How dangerous? I mean, what's the flaw there?
I mean, the flaw is that they're just going to play with fire here one of these days and, you know, the wrong bounce of the ball or, you know, and just it's going to come down to that one play and they're not going to come through in the clutch. And you go, man, they lost to a team that they're better than, and they didn't close the game out or, you know, they just were asleep at the wheel because they were unmotivated. That's the concern. But also, like, you know, yesterday – I think it also, again, shows their versatility, too. That's what's amazing. Oh, we're going to run the ball. We're going to play defense. And, you know, we're going to stop the run and make Drew Brees beat us throwing the football. You know, oh, this average Chiefs defense, yet when you ask them to do something, stop Derrick Henry in the AFC Championship game, slow down the Shanahan run game in the Super Bowl, they always rise to the occasion. So they're frustrating. I'm with you. And I don't think we've seen them play an A game the whole year. I think they played a lot of B and B plus games and they still win. And that's where I'm annoyed by them. I'll say this though, their offense needs to be the one that closes these games out. That's where they're built. And that's the unit that needs to put some of these teams away as of late. And we just haven't seen them do that.
You sold on Baker Mayfield now?
I am. I think like the last 3-4 weeks, the way he's playing, I think he's finally just comfortable in the Stefanski offense, what's being expected of him. And Dan, there's a language between quarterback and play caller that, you know, I actually heard even, you know, Bruce Arians talking about this with Tom Brady yesterday. You know, they're speaking to you with some of their play calls more than just, hey, this is the play call. But really where an offense and an offensive coordinator get on the same page is, oh, wait, he's calling this play on second down because, well, we talked about this 10 days ago. He's expecting me to look for the big shot play here, and if I don't have it, throw it away. You know, it's all those little nuances, I think, that they're finally getting together, and that's why you're seeing Baker just confident and playing awesome.
And I see young quarterbacks do this, and you play the position that – I got to throw the ball away. Like, it's hard. Your mentality is never, let me just throw it away. Your mentality is to make a play. It must be difficult for some of these younger quarterbacks to go, gosh, I got to just fall down, or I got to throw it away.
Right. Or throw the check down, right? They're not used to that. And I think that's where, you know, we got to give Baker a lot of credit. Think about it. He was at Oklahoma. It was throw it everywhere. And then he got with Hugh Jackson, and it was like, hey, awesome, let's throw it more. You're the first pick of the draft. And then last year they got Odell Beckham Jr., and they went, hey, let's throw it every play. Let's keep doing that. And then all of a sudden this year they're like, hey, whoa, we want you to hand the ball off and play smart and control the football. So that is an adjustment for a guy like that, and he's done really great in handling that. And they've matured off the field too. I think that's another aspect you see with Cleveland that Stefanski's really brought to the team.
I'll leave you with this. I have three quarterbacks in their first 48 career starts. Three current quarterbacks. In their first 48 starts, these three quarterbacks went 28 and 20. The exact same record. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers was 28 and 20. Deshaun Watson, 28 and 20. Mitchell Trubisky, 28 and 20.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. It's awesome. I'm happy for Mitchell Trubisky. That's a misleading stat, I'll say that much, because two of those guys were doing a lot of it.
Do
on
you
their
think
own.
He's happy that you're happy for him, Chris?
I probably not. He's probably like, oh, I've heard that guy say negative things about me before. Screw him, too. But I think that's the edge in which he's playing with. Like, I heard Matt Nagy in the post-game press conference that he's a different man. Well, sometimes when you get benched and you sit over there and you go, man, I was making the game too complicated. And then also when you get back in, you just go, I'm taking no prisoners. You know, screw everybody, screw the coach, screw all this. I'm going to be a leader and not think too much and do all of that. And they found their way here. The best three offensive games of the whole season the last 3 weeks. Good for the Bears. And if you made me choose, I bet you they beat the Cardinals and end up in the seventh seed over the Cardinals. Yes, that would be my choice.
Whoa, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you.
Hey, happy holidays to you and the family. Thank you again for all the times you've joined us here on the program. We always appreciate your insights, and thanks for joining us, bud.
No, thanks. Thanks to you. Thanks to all the guys. Happy holidays to you. I appreciate you having me on.
That's Chris Sims, buddy. Pro Football Talk, and also you can see him on Football Night in America. We'll take a break. We got our play of the day and some phone calls. We'll settle on our poll question as well. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
For the conference title, the snap, the put down, the swing of the leg. It is on its way. It is good! Cincinnati wins the American Championship, and the Bearcats are headed to a New Year's Six bowl game.
Courtesy of Learfield IMG College. They got Georgia in the Peach Bowl on New Year's Day. Play of the day brought to you by MasterClass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field this holiday. You buy the annual membership, and that means you get all of these classes, and then you'll get another annual membership free. Go to MasterClass.com/Patrick, MasterClass.com/Patrick. You know, Paulie keeps sending me this stat about Mitchell Trubisky. He's 28 and 20 through his first 48 games. Paulie sent it a couple of times this morning. He's like, he's got the same record as Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. I go, okay, do you want to sign up Mitchell Trubisky for the next 5 years, Paulie?
I don't, but I don't know what else to do, because otherwise they have, like, Mitch Trubisky's probably a B minus as a quarterback if you look at the league, and that's probably being nice. But he throws more touchdowns than picks. He wins more games than he loses. And as a Bears fan, I don't know if he's the problem, but it's a weird situation because they're not getting anyone high in the draft. So it's a weird situation.
Do you want to sign him up for 5 years?
Can I get him for like 3 years, $60 million? Is there any middle ground?
I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's middle ground. It feels like the next quarterback up, and then he gets paid, you know, $35 million. Yeah, McClevin.
But do you really want him for 3 years, $60 million? That means you can't jump into this huge free agent class this year.
I like what Trubisky's done, because he's, you know, he's been kicked to the curb a couple of times here, and they're playing pretty well. And I give him credit because, you know, when you get knocked down, that's when you find out about these quarterbacks. Like, I want to see what's next for Carson Wentz. And Adam Schefter had a report that Carson Wentz isn't happy being a backup. Okay. I would have been shocked if he said, you know what? I kind of dig in the backup thing, man. I'm getting paid $30 million. I don't get hit. I get to carry a clipboard. This is great. Of course he's not happy. Now, I don't like that the information got out that he's not happy, because he doesn't want to be a backup quarterback. I wouldn't want a quarterback like Carson Wentz who said, oh, I'm okay with being a back. I'm going to be a good soldier. I know you try to be a good soldier, but deep down, you're not a good soldier. It's a very selfish, you know, industry. Like, you're out there, I get my chance, I want to prove I can play. And, you know, Jalen Hurts has earned the right to be the starting quarterback the rest of the year. Absolutely. He played really, really well. He's given them a spark, and I would leave him in there. Let's see, because once defenses get some tape on you, then things change. That's what I want to see with Jalen Hurts. But absolutely, positively, he should be the starting quarterback there. And yes, I get it. Carson Wentz has gotten his feelings hurt. Well, you know what? You didn't play well. And somehow, Jalen Hurts, with the same talent that you're played with, is making some things happen. And they look competitive. They have life. Jalen Hurts is your starting quarterback the rest of the season. Yeah, McClevin.
If Carson Wentz is unhappy now, wait till he's wearing that Bears uniform week one next year. That's who Twitter already assigned him to the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I still like the Colts, but I've been saying that for about 3 months. Mark in New York joins us. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind? Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan, happy holidays.
Thank you, Mark. You too.
First time, long time, 5'8", and a solid 30-pack at 200 pounds. I got my best is Trey Sermon, really practicing what he preaches, going off for 331 yards.
Yep, looked good. He's the Oklahoma transfer, which was kind of interesting there. What else do you have?
And my worst is Notre Dame's loss. Man, they just weren't ready for that new guy that Clemson brought in, that dang Bill Lawrence guy. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Billy Lawrence looked pretty good for Clemson there. We got a little mock headline in there. Todd sent out, I don't know how many mock headlines about the Sermon in Ohio State. And I went, no.
I filled up your text pretty good there.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Do you want to do a couple of them?
I have to go find them first.
Oh, good. And hopefully you won't find them. Todd's got his Christmas sports names on Wednesday, by the way.
Correct.
Yes, yes, yes. John in Iowa. Hey, John, what's on your mind, John?
Hey, Dan, thanks so much for having me on. Happy holidays. I wanted to do a best of the week, worst of the week. 6 foot and a not too hard, not too soft, 195.
All right.
Want to start off with the worst. The fact Ohio State yet again gets a pass for a season where they played 5 regular Big Ten season games. Well, they say Indiana was the tough team they played against. Well, Indiana doesn't get squat, and the hypocrisy continues with Ohio State getting pushed through as a Big Ten. I'm a Hawkeye fan, so you can tell that I'm bitter. The best of the week would be that my wife and I are in the process of selling our house, so things are good. But the bestest of the week would be I'm talking to you, and I have the chance to say, thank you so much for announcing about over a year ago, you had polymyalgia rheumatica.
Yeah.
My father has it. And when you announced it, we found out within a week that he had it and he's doing great. And we didn't know this disease existed, anything about it. So, you know, I just want to say thank you so much.
Awesome. That's great. Great to hear, John. And good luck with the move. I had no idea what PMR was, polymyalgia rheumatica. All I know is I woke up one day and I felt like I had the flu, but I wasn't nauseous. And then I realized the next day I woke up and I had the same feeling. And then the same, you know, it was Groundhog Day every day. But usually it's older people who get it, and older people think they're dying. You know, it's just such a foreign feeling to them. But there are remedies out there, not necessarily cures, but there are remedies out there if you're suffering or you know somebody who's suffering from it. Because it can be debilitating. More phone calls coming up. Always great to hear from you. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you hours coming up. And we'll dive into the college football rankings as well. 1 hour in the books. 2 more to go on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.